QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q. Net control for the Tech Tuesday net. At 1900 hours, usually tonight, it's 1900 hours and 2 minutes. Local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz plus, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting, my clock being accurate also. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. Alrighty, only announcement I have is under some conversation with another fellow ham up here, another portable tower on a trailer. Very interesting. Let's see where that goes. So, anyway, our topic for the evening is going to be the de-expeditions. Been going on for quite a few months now, and we're going to kind of feature that, a little information about it, what's happening, where they're at, who they are, what they're doing, etc., stuff like that. So. All right, I will now call the roster of the people who are out there just about every week. WB6CLZ, Mike.
Good evening, Tom, and everybody on the net. This is WB6CLZ, standing by for our topic tonight.
Okay, Mike, appreciate you being out there. WB6CIN, Cindy, are you out there?
This is WB6CIN.
Okay, Cindy, glad to hear you out there. Appreciate that. We have a gentleman who's been back. He's been gone for a while. Maybe he's out there this evening. How about KA6CIA, George?
Hey, good evening, Tom. KA6CIA listening.
Okay, George, maybe after the net, if you're still out there, Anita, talk to you about a little phenomena grounding issue. Pretty interesting. Anyway, KE6QI, we'll give her a courtesy check-in. I know she's doggy sitting. And KE6RJ, I'm not sure if he's on the hill. So moving right along, we're going to go, let's see if AF6ZJ's out there. Guy, are you out there in Rosemont? And if heard, how about KI6SKN, Chris? And nothing heard. How about KJ6HCS, Mike?
And Tom, the net, KJ6HCS, no traffic.
Hey, Mike, glad to have you out there. Swung by there a while back. You guys must have already been gone. Courtesy check-in for K6EKX, who's out there in a repeater, a scanner, hopefully. Moving on to KJ6FIL, Mike.
Good evening, Tom and the group. Everybody have a great evening. KJ6FIL, I think I'm out here somewhere.
I'm feeling the same way. I've been going up and down a ladder all day. I'm definitely worn down. We got KJ6KDL and KJ6KDK on Echolink. You guys want to check in?
KJ6KDL here with KJ6KDK in the background.
Bye. All right, guys. Hope you enjoy Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have to get together. Got a lot of stories about that. Anyway, how about W6GZI, Frank? nothing heard. How about KI6IQA Kelly?
Good evening, KI6IQA. Hopefully Jim and Mary are out there for some kind of a vacation or something. Nashville. Crazy. Echolink. What a concept. KI6IQA.
All right, Kelly, glad to have you out there this evening. Appreciate that. K6GVL, Ron, Green Valley.
Good evening, Tom in the net. This is Ron, Green Valley Lake, K6GVL.
Ron, I got to get out there. I hear there's some very, very big fish in that lake, and the lake's smaller than Big Bear, so that means there's got to be better odds. Got to get by there. All right, how about N6BOP? Ann, are you listening from Pomona?
Yes, I am. Thank you for calling. This is N6BOP. Good evening.
Okay, Ann, glad to have you out there this evening. You're a little scratchy in the repeater, but I know you're normally solid, so it's probably just something intermittent there. How about 86PL Harold from Riverside? Nothing heard. Courtesy check in here for K6LCS, Quint. Also going to have his information that I'll be giving tonight. And moving on to KJ6MFO. Jay, are you out there? And nothing heard. Let's see if we have the McMurphy twins. I may see here. W6JLM, Judith.
W6JLM, and I am checking in tonight, and Kenneth has asked me to check him in, W6KMM.
Well, fantastic. Glad to have you out there. I missed the whole ECS net last night. I was on the phone with the sheriff, COP guy. A lot of good information I got to share with you in person. Anyway, moving along here down the list, how about K6YNW, Chris? Nothing heard, and courtesy check-in, W6POO, who's usually listening in but cannot hit our repeater on his way home. Moving on down, KD6LAN, Bill. He's probably over there taking a snooze. How about AE6CK, Victor?
Good evening, Tom and Vanette. This is Victor Alpha Echo 6 Charlie Kilo, Santa Fe Springs. And what I understand, the summer come back to Big Bear, right?
I'm sorry, Victor, would you repeat that?
I said that the summer come back to the Big Bear, in other words, it is hot over there, right?
Well, it's been getting down here pretty cool at night into the 30s. Anywhere from the low to mid-30s. I've had high 30s here. In the daytime, though, my gosh, it's been like summer up here. Just beautiful days. Cannot complain. Clear sky. Oh, fantastic. All right, anyway, moving on down. KA6ROD, Rod.
Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
Hey, Rod. Glad to have you out there. Appreciate that. Let's see if KB6LCY Christie's out there in Apple Valley.
And KB6LTY is here. Good evening.
Hey, Christy. Glad to have you out there. And we're going to move on down to, let's see here, I think we got NQ7RD. Let's try to give him one more shot out there in Corona. Make sure we haven't lost him for good. All right, that is the list as I have it. If there's anybody who would like to check in as a guest, please come back now. KF6Q.
KJ6LDG.
All right, thanks for checking in. Anybody else?
WA6ITC.
WA6ITC, Rod out there in Lake Williams. Glad to have you with us, Rod. Anybody else?
AB6PVC.
By golly, it sounded like WB6PBZ. Ray, I guess from Rancho. Glad to have you out there, Ray. Anybody else? All right, anybody out there listening, feel free to join in, questions, suggestions, whatever, as we go through this. All right, let's see here, Mike. Let's do our basic DX report first. What's happening out there?
Hey, Tom. Yeah, I'm frantically trying to get Tango 32 Charlie. They're bouncing around here. Okay, well, let's see. Conditions are excellent. 10 meters is hopping, and open, wide open to the world most of the daylight hours now, which is really kind of cool. Space Weather is reporting a sunspot count of 165 with a solar flux index of 153 solar flux units. That's pretty good. That's getting up there, and things are pretty hot. This morning before the big BBARC rag chew net, I turned on 10 meters, talked to a gentleman in Norway, talked to a gentleman in Cuba this afternoon, and just about a half an hour ago, I talked to the D-Expedition on Christmas Island with a 5.9 report. That'd be Tango 32 Charlie, with 5 watts, with a report of 5.9. Of course, I think 5.9 is standard, so I really don't know. But yeah, things are really good right now. All the bands are good. You know, we're getting into conditions. Cycle 24 is picking up. That's about all I've got on that end. Back to you, Tom. This is WB6CLZ.
Okay, Mike, appreciate that. And we'll just call out there. I know that Bob is not available. Did not hear Chris out there. Anybody else out there working any DX for the DX report? Please come back.
KN6VL.
KN6VL, go ahead.
This is KN6VL, John in Lancaster, and if you're asking, I too worked at Christmas Island, a week or so ago.
That's fantastic, and you know what? I don't know how far away that is. Maybe I could ask you, and then if you don't know, we could, maybe Mike knows. Back to you first.
I don't know the mileage, but I do know it's Christmas Island in the Pacific Ocean, and it's in the vicinity of Micronesia. And I would estimate it's about 3,000 miles west of Hawaii. So it's out there a ways.
Wow, and I know Hawaii's, I'm just going to say, ballpark 3,000 miles, plus or minus. Mike, real quick, WB6CLZ, does that sound about right to you? By golly, that's way out there. And you did that on 5 watts. And, wow, that's incredible.
Well, how about 3368, 3,368 miles direct, and if you go long path, 21,488. I did work them direct, though, I'm sure, because I've worked them with just the loop. It's not directional. I really couldn't tell you. Norway, I think, is a little bit farther. So, yeah, conditions are very, very good right now.
Easy.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I also work on New Zealand. There's a special event station for the World Cup football rugby matches, and I worked that last night.
Oh, fantastic, Ray, and that's from down the hill there in Rancho?
Yeah, that was on 10 meters from Rancho with a vertical antenna.
Well, that's great. That's fantastic. I know that you can always get a beam out there and maybe, you know, really get a lot of gain. I know a vertical doesn't have as much. I'm guessing at that, but what you have there. Well, that's great. That's fantastic. Anything else there, Ray?
Well, I worked the Christmas Island group also and stuff with the vertical, and they've been pretty hot, and so has Japan. It's been very hot, too. I've talked to a couple of Japanese stations.
Well, that's fantastic. Boy, I wish I had time to play radio. I'm looking forward to it, but I just got too many to-do things. Anybody else out there, any DX reports or things to share with us?
I've got them on here. If you want me to put this on, you guys can hear them for a second.
Is that recorded or is that just in the background?
This is live. Here we go.
Charlie.
That's
That's fantastic. We're going to get into the D-Expedition, what they do. There are obviously more than they, there's a lot of they's out there. We're going to do that in just a minute. One more call to anybody else with DX report. All right, well, we'll have time for that anyway as we move forward here. Clint is not going to be with us this evening, but he did have a great show up there at Pacificon, Hamfest up in Santa Clara. He just got back from there. He's worked several passes Friday and Saturday. He gave his SAT talk twice on Saturday. Busy guy. And at 3:06 a.m. in the morning, Saturday morning, yes, that's a.m., about 12 attendees were outside the hotel in an attempt to work the ISS Commander Mike Awesome on a great pass over Santa Clara. Unfortunately, the event did not make a formal request, and we missed talking to the ISS by just 5 minutes. Anyway, the ham radios aboard the ISS were unmanned when they flew across our skies. You know, I'm just reading here what Clint sent me, and this is one thing about the ISS. Of course, we'd all would like to talk to somebody there up there, but you're not going to unless you have a request in, or it's just one of those fluke luck things, and it's like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow type thing. Very busy guys they are, quite a schedule, and they're on a different clock than us. So anyway, interesting to do. We're going to try to work them this upcoming year with Clint, and more on that later. Anyway, he's got another request to listening up on AeroSat 1 before it's gone. It's only working when in sunlight, so tune to its 2-meter downlink and listen. It will be gone soon. Similar situation with AO51 working now. Batteries are failing, of course. They have been for some time. They have served us well in the past 7 years. Whew, quite a while. AO27 was up for Clint last Saturday at Pacificon, strong as ever. That's probably going to be the favorite one to work now as our selection is getting slim. Anyway, that is Clint's report. I know he'll probably have a lot more to say next week, and you can always visit his site at www.worksat, that's work-sat hyphen there, .com, work-sat.com. Alrighty, well, let's see here. Michael, D-Expedition, you are the DX guy. Tell us what you know, and even more so.
Boy, you don't want to know what I know. Anyway, yeah, I guess we're talking about the Charlie Echo 9 D-Expedition. We're using that as an example tonight. And that happens to be in the October 2011 QST, page 64, 65, beyond, I think. This D-Expedition is some guys that got together, actually a whole large group when you read the article, with sponsors, etc., to the tip of South America, two island chains, and they are working mainly, well, both the island chain of the Charlie Echo 9, which is SA-097, on Gonzalo Island, and then there's another one that's an island chain where they're working on Herschel Island, and that's considered SA-031, and I'm not really sure what those numbers mean. So basically, these island chains have only been activated like once in 24 years. So there's a lot of people that want these for their DX contests and their DX awards and such. I'm not an award guy. I'm a turn the power down, see how far I can go, and that kind of gets me off. I don't have a bunch of awards and wallpaper on the wall. I'm lucky to have a map. Anyway. Let's see. Well, a lot of stuff they have to do this. Let me reset. Hey, and this is WB6CLZ with the Tech Tuesday Net. A lot of things they've got to do. They've got to secure licenses, radio licenses, navigation approval, the they're landing on the beach or somewhere, they've got to get approval for that, camping permits, and on and on and on. These guys have got to carry everything with them. These are remote islands. I mean, these are places that people just don't go. There is a lighthouse there, and I guess they partied quite a bit when they were there during operating and in and out. But also, a lot of stuff they have to do. They've got to have wetsuits to get on and off the boats and onto the islands, camping gear, spare rigs, antennas, generator, food, and on and on. Back to you, Tom. Give me some hints on what else you want me to go. I've got a whole bunch of stuff yellowed out here, but that gives us a good start to get some conversation going.
Oh, good deal there, Mike. KF6Q here, Tech TuesdayNet. And now you talk about all the different just legalities of that, and they're setting up, bringing everything with them. These are all, just basic, probably wire dipoles, possibly something else, whatever they can bring in. And in this particular instance, of course, I know that article where you're speaking of, but there's been quite a few of these all the time. Antarctica, all over, everywhere, I guess. And I guess the main thing is, I really don't know, is this just a group that gets together? Is it a group of hams? Are they like an organization? I guess if we had the time and money, could you and I just go out and do this?
Sure. If we had the time and money, you and I could just go out and do this. As a matter of fact, I've got a wedding that I've got to go up to in Juneau, Alaska, and I'm going to kind of have a mini-D expedition. I'm going to take my little 817 and some portable antennas and, try to play around and work portable KL7 from the hotel. So, yeah, we could do that. But these people are highly sponsored. The Tango 32 Charlie, if you look those people up, if you have computer access and look those people up on QRZ, they are very, very highly sponsored. The group that we're talking about tonight, though, they had over 40 individual hams as sponsored. And I don't know what a lot of these initials meant. It's IREF, GDXF, ICOM Canada, MFJ, SDXF, Clipperton DX Club, QSL Printing Outfit, and on and on and on. I mean, a lot of support. It takes a lot of money to do one of these things, and the more remote it is, the more shekels you got to throw that way.
Well, I guess that is probably one way to get the funding is sponsors, like with anything else, and using their gear and having that mentioned somewhere along the line that, what are you using? Well, I'm using the Yaesu, blah, 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 or something like that. And I guess that would really be the main source, so it is not coming out of too much of one's pocket. However, I think traveling to the other side of the world, or at least that would be for us, would be an adventure in itself. I think that's probably one of the greatest things about ham radio. Let me reset here. And I say this out there to any of the people of the technician class that haven't had the chance yet to monitor or listen to this stuff. It's kind of exciting there to be talking to somebody that's on the other side of the world, and you can kind of visualize what's going on over there, what they're doing, right from your own little ham shack or back room or whatever you got set up there. So if you got a tech license, you want to upgrade a general, get out there and enjoy this fun, Look us up. We still do ham testing the last Sunday of every month. The reset. And Mike, I know that 10 meters is open for a little bit of a tech level on that, but you're working a lot of 10 meters and 6 meters. Okay, 6 meters opens up. 6 meters, perfectly fine for tech class. Have you been working anything on 6?
I wish Tom WO6B was listening tonight, because he does a little more 6 meters than I do. Every time I play around, I kind of go and listen around for beacons and such. And a beacon, for those that haven't listened to Tech Tuesday regularly, is just basically a station that sends out a station ID, location, and such, and lets you know propagation conditions. If you're hearing beacons up in the Pacific Northwest on 6 meter, it's pretty well open up to the northwest, and really heard anything on 6 meters lately. Generally, 6 meters, the best time, unless we're near the peak of a sunspot cycle or unusual condition, the best time is in the spring, early summer. That's when 6 meters really, we get what we call the sporadic E season, and that's when it really kind of heats up. But I think as cycle 24 continues here, we're going to get a lot more 6 meter activity, if it goes the way we would like it to go.
Okay, Roger that. Now, I know that you're using minimum power and usually a wire antenna of some sort, possibly something different, maybe a vertical. I know Ray's using a vertical. What are these guys using out there on the D Expedition? Like, say, out there, they got a lot of gear. Are they running power? Are they just running wire antennas? I don't have that article in front of me. Gonzales Island or whatever?
One of the island is Gonzalo Island, and the other is Herschel Island. But they're also on Diego Ramirez, and I don't really see where that is, but maybe that's the island chain. I'm not really sure. Well, I'm reading here, and on the way over, one of the guys had a Pelican case, which for those that don't know, it's a suitcase that's sealed and padded and really heavy duty. His Pelican case was flipped around in with the motion of the swells they were getting. They were getting pretty high oceans and stuff, and very concerned that one of the rigs might have been damaged, but luckily it wasn't. Yeah, they are using mostly on this D Expedition wire antennas, and in the vertical configuration, and it looks like they have some horizontal too, but they are kind of right at the seashore, so really good grounding, really good conditions. That's most of your D Expeditions, a lot of them try to be close to the ocean where they can get really, really optimum conditions for their antenna grounding and such. Now, if you look at the Tango 32 Charlie, if you go to QRZ.com on the internet, and they have a link to their site, they're pretty well healed. I mean, they've got some really neat antennas. They're not limited to wire antennas. They're set up on all bands and you know, just really ready to go. They've taken over a hotel there on Christmas Island, and very well healed on that one. That's one that's kind of good to take a look at and see what the high end of the D Expeditions can be, being with my little QRP rig, the bottom end.
Okay, I think we had some traffic in there. Anybody with comments, please go ahead. Okay, guess not. Well, that's good, Mike. And I don't know if you had mentioned what kind of power they run, but I'm sure they have probably all the options we have here. You know, like you say, with grounding, with the ocean and all that, pretty phenomenal. Got to be getting a good signal out there. Well, good deal. Well, Mike, you also have a little something to add in there. This is probably the ultimate DX, or distance anyway, would be EME, bouncing to the moon and back. I guess you were working with Bob at WA6MQF, who can't get into the repeater tonight. How'd you guys make out, and what'd you get set up? How's he doing with that?
Tom, yeah, this is WB6CLZ. Yeah, we came up Sunday morning and had the radio on, and it was just kind of a fluke. Bob was had tried a couple of people, and he got a hold of me, and he needed somebody to help put up or help hook up. He's got 4 13-element boomer Cushcraft Yagis mounted in an over-under you know, configuration, two above, two below, and two and those side by side on an as-L rotator, and then your standard rotator, you know, like anybody would have for a Yagi antenna. Well, he is in no shape to get up there and do that himself right now, so he wanted to know if Cindy and I would go over and give him a hand. Reset. So we went over there and basically put the control box on, hooked up the hard line, hooked up all of the external wiring that needs to feed that antenna, feed the rotators, and make that turkey work. We basically put his control box on, two relays, a little amplifier in there and such, and that is basically mounted up at the tower and then wired into the antenna with flexible cable. Using hard line going up to the antenna, which is a very low loss type of coaxial cable. I think it's coaxial cable, but it's called hardline, and very, very low loss. We hooked that thing up, took about a half an hour, 45 minutes with me up on his roof, climbing up the tower, and, you know, my knees shaking while I'm up there and doing all that. And got it all hooked up, came down, and was hearing K6BB with the antenna completely on the sides and on the back of the beam and just booming in. He transmitted a couple of times on it, and on a different frequency, of course, and was getting very low SWR. So he, hold on, I'm going to reset. Got an EME contest coming up this next weekend, and hopefully he's going to be able to, he's got his amplifier all ready to go, got everything ready to go, and hopefully he's going to be able to ping the moon a couple days before that, which means bounce the signal off the moon and hear your signal coming back. They call it a ping. And if he can do that, which he thinks he can, then he's going to go ahead and see if he can make some points in that EME contest this weekend. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, are there any questions or comments out there at this time? Please come back to KF6Q. Silence. Anyway, Mike, I do believe it was about a year ago, I'm not sure, maybe more than a year ago, was it Arecibo was bouncing signals off the moon, and that was kind of a neat thing. I'm trying to think. I think there was somebody up here who got a log on that. I'm trying to remember who that was. Maybe that was somebody with the San Bernardino Microwave Society. I know we did have somebody I knew that actually was able to wedge in there. But that's pretty interesting. Of course, they have quite an antenna. But anyway, now is he probably still right on the doorstep of getting that thing running, you think, to actually bounce off the moon and back? I know there's a lot to that. It's not quite that simple. And I know he's worked hard on this. And right now he's up on Mount Wilson, making some money to pay the bills. But how close do you think he is with this?
I think he's ready to fire that thing up this weekend. He's got an ICOM Pro Series that he's using on 2 meters, as his exciter. And as far as I know, he's got the amplifier ready to go. I'm not sure how many watts the amplifier is, but I know that you and he had been talking about that. But he's got the amplifier ready to go, and he's got the preamp and everything up at the antenna. So as far as I know, he is ready to test the thing out. More than what he's already done, actually test it out on the moon and get into that contest this coming weekend.
If that is the amp he built and put it in that other box you got off of eBay, he's close to full legal limit, I believe, which is, that's almost 1,500 watts. I think it's like 1,400 watts. Not sure if that's exact. I'm not sure if that's exactly the same amp he was building. I think it is, though.
Tom, that is what he was building the amp for, so it must be. I really didn't get it. I saw the primary, when he was building the amp, and he still needed to do some things, but I didn't get a chance to take even a look at the amp this time. We had another antenna. We were helping Mickey, WA6FIZ, with his 10-meter beam over the weekend. It was my antenna weekend. But I didn't get a chance to get in there and take a look at that amplifier since he's finalized it. But to the best of my knowledge, he's ready to rock and roll.
Well, that's fantastic, and I wish him all the luck. My weekend, I've just had tons of fun doing all kinds of stuff up here, but not radio-wise yet. not yet. Well, anyway, good deal. Well, it sounds like you guys had a great adventure there, getting that, you know, one more step, you know, towards completion. And, yeah, the de-expeditions, really neat stuff, kind of cool. If you're into getting some contacts out there that are above and beyond the normal ones you're going to get, kind of neat. And I would probably, I know this is not required anymore, but a lot of people do, is have a log going. There's good logging software out there that will carry you through year after year. And basically, and intentions are that, you know, this other people you may talk to, it might be a year or two down the road, and this will keep track of that. And you say, hey, you know what, I've worked this guy before, but maybe he was in a different state or something. So pretty cool stuff. Mike, I know I don't think you use any logging software in particular. You just pretty much just shoot from the hip with that?
Yeah, back when it was required, I still have my old hard copy log. I do not use it anymore. But I did just download Ham Radio Deluxe, which I'm sure has logging software on it. And I'm really thinking about getting back into that. It's kind of embarrassing when you're talking to a station in Japan or something and he tells you that, I talked to you back in May and you were running this and that. This antenna, and it was like, okay, yeah, I don't, but I'm leaning that way, Tom.
You know, it's kind of neat. It's kind of like one of those things, like I say, if you have enough wall space. I'm looking at my walls here. I do not have wall space. If I had a map, I don't even know where I'd put it. Ah, wait a minute, I found a place, the ceiling. Okay. But anyway, there's different ways of you know, keeping track of that. I think it's pretty awesome. You have somebody, one of your friends over, another ham, and here's this huge map with a zillion pins. There's nothing like that. It's more graphic saying, hey, you know what? I've talked to somebody there. You know, that's pretty neat. Pretty neat. Way back in the day when there were no cell phones, it was pretty awesome. I think it's still awesome.
Yeah, hey, Tom. I hope I'm not deviling the sea. Chris, KI6SKN, you know, in his shack, he has got the map and he's got the pins, and it's really kind of cool. Trouble with Chris, though, he's getting so darn many pins on there. Pretty soon there's not going to be any map left.
Yeah, roger that. You know, it's just, and I know that I think Bob, he's going for the worked all stations, this and that and whatever, and I guess those are some other documents, a good piece of the paper you can hang on a wall. Kind of like an achievement, something you've done. Nothing wrong with that. I like the one that Harry says, he's worked all neighbors.
Yeah, Tom, Bob is a paper hanger. He collects everything, DXCC and all that stuff. I just have never gone that route.
Well, roger that. Well, anyway, kind of in the midst of a little bit off topic, I am building two of my little sheds out there, and I'm actually framing these out of steel, as I am a steel framing type contractor guy. Anyway, interesting thing, and I don't know, George, if you're still out there, and I want to just bring this up, kind of another little grounding issue, and even though this is not a grounding night, as now I have this huge, massive amount of steel structure, and this is not uncommon. I am now getting a voltage differential off of my grounded drill. It's a little tingle, enough I can feel it. I think we had talked about that once before, and that the now the steel structure, just in size alone, has become a better ground, I guess. George, do you have any comments? I think we lost him. I guess he's not out there. Anyway, we'll talk about that later on in the future. Interesting thing. Well, anyway, Mike, pretty cool. Neat about the expedition, and a lot of good stuff out there going on, but I think we're getting close here to the end of the net. If there's any questions about DXing or de-expeditions at this point in time, anybody out there as a listener, please come back to KF6Q. All right. not really hearing anything there. Mike, anything you'd like to add before we close the net?
Tom, we probably put them all to sleep. I don't know. It'd get dark earlier. Hey, you know, per the NEC, and I don't know about buildings, but, you know, all of your grounds have to be bonded to the common ground. So maybe that's where you're getting that ground issue.
Well, okay, we're, if you can kind of picture this, this is the back of the north lot. And, of course, this is all by itself. And it's sitting up on a little concrete, little chingies. And the thing is even though they're, you know, in the dirt, I guess, I don't know, it really wouldn't be much of a ground because they're surrounded by concrete. But anyway, but the structure itself, of course, is not tied or bonded in any way, shape, or form, which is probably what I'm going to have to do. If I do have a feed out of a GFI, because this is really great, GFI fed drill. However, not popping the GFI. I'm just getting a little tingle now as I keep adding more steel to the structure, and I've got more to go. That little tingle gets more into a bite.
You know, be careful. I don't want to be doing Tech Tuesday by myself here. I think that could be an issue. I think you're probably going to have to bond that all the way over to your, you know, maybe drive a ground rod and bond that ground rod with your other ground rod. Boy, and that's quite a different distance. And you're going to have to use the size ground of your largest wire. So, I don't know. I'll have to look that up for you.
Yeah, roger that. Well, I might try sinking a ground rod first. I have the technology, and see what that does. Big problem about sinking ground rods up here. Every 2 inches, there's a new rock to hit. But I could try that. Like I said, the other option would be running a, I've got some 1-aught. Must be awfully large for a ground, but I don't know. You think that's what it would take?
I think that would be better than nothing. Cindy in the background just said, ground and Sugarloaf. she at the same time, she was thinking, oh, how in the heck could we get through those rocks? Yeah, I think that I would try that, lay it above ground and see what you've got, see if it alleviates the problem. But be careful with that. I've got a tick tracer that, I don't know if you know, non-contact, and that'll give you an indication on what you're getting. Know that whether it's hot or not after you do that. You don't have to touch it or unless you have a meter.
Comment?
Yeah, go ahead, comment.
Here is Dave, V6PBZ. You sure your drill isn't bad?
No, this is something we experience all the time. It doesn't matter if it's in a mall or whatever. We start building any steel structure, even in a high-rise, until it's actually connected to, say, an I-beam or a column or something like that. An electrician actually explained this to me once, that as we tie all this steel together and it's not grounded to anything, it becomes, some kind of a ground in itself. So this is it's not uncommon. This is nothing I'm not used to. It always happens. Just amazed that, you know, I guess I forgot about this, so. But I do want to get rid of it, and I think that was the end solution, was basically to simply tie it to the ground, common ground, same from the same feed, and probably an extra ground rod or two wouldn't hurt either. Anyway, so, Mike. Anyway, we can always experiment with that, but in the meantime, it's actually not supposed to have any weight. It's a temporary structure. It's under 120 square feet, so it's one of those temporary structure shed type things. So we're not allowed to run power to it, if you know what I mean.
Know exactly what you mean. Been there, done that.
Well, let's close out Tech Tuesday here. I think we've pretty much had a neat little discussion on the expeditions. Anybody else out there, anything to add before we close Tech Tuesday? All right, we'll stick around here for a bit. QST, 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 this is Tom Fry, KF6Q. Acting, no, I am, net control for the Tech Tuesday, net closing the net at, if you look at my little TikTok here, according to Verizon, it is 1900 hours, 47 minutes. Returning the repeater to normal use, or abnormal use. And I want to thank everybody who participated, everybody who listened in this evening. Always try to have topics that branch over. There's such a wide area, different stuff of ham radio. But anyway, please join us again next Tuesday at this time, actually at 1900 hours time. And thanks for listening in. This is KF6Q, turning the repeater back to normal use.